All right, praise the Lord and hallelujah. We're going to sing Keep On Walking by Faith as we open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Once more. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Give the Lord a hand praise this morning. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank God. We are opening our Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah, the first chapter. And I don't know exactly where or how much of this the Lord will lead us through. Of course, He could come at any moment. I believe that. I do believe that. And before I read a verse, we're going to pray as we go into this message entitled, The Refiner's Fire. Right. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy holy word. And we thank Thee, O God, that Thy word speaks to us and it's forever settled in heaven. And Thy word, O Lord, is true. And we believe it. It is greater than we are, greater than all things. For heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall never pass away. So, Lord, now let Thy word go deep down into our hearts. Draw us together, O Lord, and help us and strengthen us, O God. We all want the same thing, just to glorify Thee and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Move upon us, O Lord. Direct us. Help us to receive Thy word and to give Thee glory at all times. Let Satan be bound, rebuked, cast out, made powerless in the presence of Thy saving and holy blood. We ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Isaiah was not a popular man. He brought forth the word of God and people didn't like it. Of course, as we begin with chapter 1 here and move on into this a little ways with the title, The Refiner's Fire, you'll understand why. Many people didn't like what they were hearing. But you know, the Word of God is good for us, no matter what it tells us. Amen. Wouldn't you rather have God tell you anything than tell you nothing? Now, Isaiah the prophet, looking at Israel, and by the way, where the shoe fits, wear it, right? This isn't just something back there. I believe this is for us right now, today. Right now, us, you and I, present tense. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. He transcended four kings in prophesying the word of God. Here's what he says. God moved upon him. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. In other words, this is for heaven and earth. This is for everybody. Everybody, listen up, is what he's saying. For the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Of course, we understand that when God speaks to Israel, He was speaking to, first of all, Abraham and his seed. Now, we understand that the promise was given to Abraham and to his seed, and Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham. Therefore, all of us, even though we be Gentiles, as far as the world is concerned, and in the flesh, yet we are Israel through the promise and through the salvation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you and I are in the commonwealth of Israel. God only has one people. And everyone, no matter who they are, must come in to Jesus Christ. There is no other way. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. All right? So really, there can be no finger pointing. We can't go back and point at Old Testament Israel, say, look how bad they were. If we look at the way things are today, it's worse. And that's why the prophet Isaiah and this prophecy is so vitally important today. He goes on and says, now think of the United States, because boy, does this ever fit. Think of the United States of America as we read this. Let's apply it. Some people get mad at me when I do that. I get letters sometimes. I get complaints sometimes. They say, oh, don't talk about anything political or anything government or anything. Don't criticize anything at all. Hey, I don't have to criticize anything. The Word of God will take care of that very, very well. I'm just the messenger boy here. And what we do is we apply Scripture to the present tense. Some people don't mind the Bible as long as they don't have to apply it to themselves or their own nation or their own world. It's just something that's there to read. It says this and that, but it can't possibly mean them. How could this possibly mean the United States? We're such good people. The land of the free and the home of the brave. Right? The good guys, the role model of the world, the sterling example to everyone. You know how many people out there think that way? But what does God see? See, Israel thought that way about themselves. We're the seed of Abraham. We are the chosen. There's nobody like us. We are right at the top. We're right there with God. And God had a different estimation of them. Here's what the Lord said in verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. There, now we're getting the real picture, aren't we? A seed of evildoers. Kind of runs in the families, doesn't it? Have you noticed that? There are certain families that are so corrupt and vile, they demand respect for themselves but don't deserve it. The only way they can get any element of respect is through deception. You know, years ago they had this program on, it's quite a few years ago now, about the Rockefeller family. And it was a documentary. And they had everything in there. And they showed how the Rockefellers literally stole the oil industry overnight. They swindled people overnight. And of course, Standard Oil Company. And of course, they had to eventually break it up. They still controlled all the elements of it. Eastern States Standard Oil, Esso, and Standard Oil of Indiana. They had all these different divisions. But anyway, Rockefeller, old John D. Rockefeller, literally stole the entire oil industry through a swindle overnight. It was illegal, but never prosecuted. And they went through all this, and they showed how, well, you've got to understand that the five Rockefeller sons were not normal children because they couldn't have any real friends. Everybody wanted something. They were all multi-millionaires. And they couldn't live a normal life, these poor babies, see? And so you got to have sympathy for them. And the conclusion of the whole thing at the very end, they showed all the swindles and how they own 800 banks personally. Remember when old Nelson Rockefeller, who was an attorney for Richard Nixon, Richard Nixon was an attorney for Rockefeller, but they all were in the same club together. They're all Illuminists. But when Rockefeller was being approved for vice president, he was asked the question, what is your personal income? And he said, $800,000 a year. And then when they investigated, he forgot some zeros. It was $800 million a year. They said, "How much did you pay in taxes?" $257. And he said, "And I overpaid." Hey, the rotten crook, they should see what they took out of me. Anyway, these people, you know, and the way it ended up, the whole thing, after the documentary ended, they said, "Well, you got to understand that people in the long run benefited from all the bad things they did. It was good for the country. It provided industry, provided jobs, and so forth. And so it was a good thing. And besides, somebody's got to be on the top. Why not them?" That's how the program ended. And there was no outrage. They must have convinced a lot of people that this is the way it should be. But people are so easily deceived. But you know, the Lord, looking at the nation, sees that it's laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. Oh, we don't have any corrupt children, do we? Corrupt children and these children corrupting others. You know, Obama's got a new plan now. The census that's coming up in the year 2010, he is involving every school child in all of the schools all through the United States. He's giving them a census packet to take home to their parents, and they are to make sure their parents file the census thing, and it goes right through the school. So every child becomes a census taker. They said children have such a strong voice in the home. They didn't used to. There used to be a woodshed and a paddle. They didn't have a strong voice. I'll tell you what, my dad only went through sixth grade, but he had a lot of smarts. He knew a lot of things. And I felt that belt a few times. It gave me character. It surprised me how fast he could get his belt off, and that leather burned like fire. Nowadays, they say, "Oh, you can't do that. Dr. Spock would roll over in his grave." No, he won't roll over his grave. He's already at a hotter place, and he's too busy. Anyway, I'll tell you what. Children have a strong voice in the home, ruling their parents. Drive past the high school. What's in the parking lot? Late model cars, Beamers, BMWs. Where are they getting this money? The parents. Credit cards. Lines of credit on their homes. Of course, a lot of that's changing now. Doesn't it make you wonder? Boy, I had an old 55 Ford I paid $300 for. I thought that was the greatest thing ever came along. Couldn't imagine driving a new car. And you go over by the parking lot, drive past there sometime, any of these schools. You'd be surprised what these kids are driving. It's amazing. But yes, they have a strong voice, all right. Children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. It's the backward motion, meaning away from God, an untoward generation. That's the rule of the day. Now the Lord asks the question, "Why should ye be stricken anymore?" God's actually saying, "Why should I even punish you any further?" Punishment is designed to straighten someone out. And believe it or not, there is not one person walking with God that doesn't need straightening out from time to time. Amen. All right? "Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint." He's speaking about a nation that's sick in the head. Oh, that couldn't be us, could it? Well, now they're supposed to be raising the Chinese flag over Washington, D.C. in honor of the revolution. Today is what, the 20th, isn't it? Yeah, that's today. Big ceremony in Washington. The fact is, Barack Obama gave the red Chinese government permission to raise the red communist flag over the South Lawn of the White House. Then there were a number of people protesting it, so they decided to do it across the street. What's the difference? The fact is, he gave him the permission. He wanted it to happen. And this is a compromise. Do you know what that flag stands for? Over in China, you've got to have a birth permit to have a baby. If you don't, it's mandatory abortion. They kill your child. One of their delicacies over there is they eat human embryo soup. Not to mention every kind of cat and anything they can get their hands on. These are cruel, voracious, evil cultures there that I'll tell you what, I got no use for them. And to raise and talk about the anniversary of communism, we used to fight communism. Now we raise their flag over our capital. Who would ever have believed such a thing could happen? But strangely enough, and it gets stranger.
I saw the two flags on television.
Oh, you did see it? Pretty ugly, isn't it?
Yes.
There are people who died to fight against that communism. Remember when Douglas MacArthur went in and... Yeah, that's an interesting little thing, that Korean War, isn't it? Here you've got Douglas MacArthur trying to fight the communists. And my brother fought the communists. I wonder what he thinks about that flag going up today. It did go up. It did go up. But anyway, during that Korean War, the United Nations had a representative from Russia who was the head of the military secretariat. His name was Alexander Vasilyev, who took a leave of absence to command the Red Chinese. He was a Russian. He took a leave of absence from the UN to command the forces of the communists against MacArthur. But MacArthur had to submit all of his battle plans to the UN, which were relayed to Vasilyev. And he was still winning. And he said, I'm going to push them clear out of the world. He said, I'll drive them back into China. He said, we'll wipe out communism. And he was doing it. And Harry S. Truman fired him. You're not supposed to win. You're supposed to have a balance of power. As Henry Kissinger said, a no-win war. We need a certain amount of evil in the world to balance the good. You got to level it all out. That is witchcraft doctrine. That's the way these people think, and that's the way these people are. It's an amazing thing. Now, extraordinary thing, really. And so God asked that question in verse 5 of Isaiah 1. Why should you be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. A nation that's sick in the head? Absolutely, the Bible says so. And the whole heart faint. Well, thank God there are some that are awake, but I believe only by the grace of God.
Amen.
Do you realize what is happening here? He goes on, God's looking at this nation right now as he looked at Israel. He's seeing the same thing. In verse 6 he said, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. Totally unsound, unstable. What outrageous thing are they going to do next? Anything goes. But what does he see? Wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Now watch what the Lord says about our country. Your country is desolate. Now he's looking ahead here. This is prophecy. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, oh my. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. Right before your very eyes, strangers come in and devour it. This is the word of God, folks. God saw it. He's warning here. He does give us the remedy for it. We're coming to that. This might be a good time to tell you this. I got Brian sitting right here in the front row. We got Stephen in the back there. They came over to my office yesterday with some information regarding the speeches that Obama has made, and a couple in particular. And the one was his acceptance speech for the nomination of the presidency. And what was this little phrase there again, Brian, that he said?
Well, what he did is, during his speech, the crowd wasn't cheering, but he said, "Let me express," and then paused and repeated, "Let me express."
That's right. That's right. So he stood there, and it was out of place. He said, making a speech, he said, "Let me express," and then there was a pause. Kind of unusual, wasn't it? "Let me express." Now, playing it backwards, as you can do on a computer, you know, in that Audacity program, you can move it forward or backward. It shows the little lines, the waves of the voice, and so forth. Go ahead, Brian, tell us what that means if you play it backwards.
"Let me express," play it backwards, "is serve Satan."
So here's Obama saying, "Serve Satan! Serve Satan!" with a pause in between. Then, to top it off, his big campaign slogan is, "Yes, we can. Yes, we can." And all the crowd, thousands of people out there, "Yes, we can. Yes, we can." Play it backwards, what do we get?
"Thank you, Satan.
Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan," is what they're saying. With the inflections and everything, clear as a bell, you can hear it. When these people are shouting and chanting, "Yes, we can," they're saying, "Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan." There's demons at work. It's amazing. And it doesn't end. It just keeps going on and on and on. This is a frightening thing. I believe Barack Obama is a Satanist of the first magnitude. Amen. Without question. I'll show you some things, additional things here in a few minutes. But God said, "Your country is desolate. It's pathetic, isn't it? Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers." Look anywhere. Who owns what? They're buying up everything. There was a gas station here in town, convenience store, a number of years ago. And there was a Muslim came in from India or Pakistan or somewhere. Anyway, he wanted to buy it. How many times do you go in these places? They buy up all the hotels, motels. They run them into the ground. They don't clean them. They don't fix them, because that's the way they live over there. They bring their country over here, their standards over here. They don't understand how it is here because they've never been from here. Obama doesn't understand the American way because he's not an American. But there was this convenience store for sale, and the guy saw who wanted to buy it, and he said, "I don't want to sell it to you." But he had to sell it. He needed the money. So as it turned out, this guy from the Orient there said, "I will give you twice what you're asking for it." Where are they getting this money? And then when he bought it, he paid no taxes because he got a tax break for being a foreigner. Then after, that's for 5 years. Then after 5 years are up, he hands the deed of it over to his brother, and he gets 5 years tax-free. Somebody's got to pay the bill. They go to universities. They get all the breaks, free tuition. And they get a lower standard they can come in under. You know, it's just unbelievable. And now Obama said, "We are going to legalize all the illegals so they can have health care." Well, what does the Bible say? It says that our land is desolate as overthrown by strangers. In verse 8, "And the daughter of Zion," those who really belong here, in other words, as this extends out, "is left as a cottage in the vineyard." In other words, a little hut, a little shack. "As a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city." Where did the wealth go? Well, people started worshiping these other gods. Remember George Harrison with the Beatles, with his song, My Sweet Lord? Pretty soon everybody's buying it. Big hit, bestseller. People are singing it, they're playing it over all the radio stations. My Sweet Lord, My Sweet Lord. Hare Krishna, Vishnu, Shiva. Young people got into the Eastern religion. Well, guess what? Pretty soon our stores are filling up with all this junk from the Orient. And all these people from India and Pakistan come over and they're buying up everything. Islam taking over. The Chinese coming in. It's real, folks. Now, you can close your eyes and turn your head and make believe you don't see, but it's there. And he says in verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. Don't you feel that way sometimes? There's just a few of us. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. And boy, you talk about that homosexual element in our country, it's everywhere. And it is flaunted. And it is glorified by the world. And anybody who doesn't like it, they call a homophobe, right? Who's in charge of the finance committee running our economy right now? Barney Frank, the tooth fairy. A little limp-wristed pansy boy who makes it known. Come on. Is it wrong to criticize? No. It actually is our right. Remember? And as far as evil is concerned, why are people so pusillanimous that they're afraid to speak up? When the Word of God tells us the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon us, and one of the purposes of the Spirit of Jesus Christ is to reprove the world of sin. Call sin, sin. Let sin be sin. Amen. Name it. This you're okay, I'm okay stuff doesn't work. You see, the big enemy is the guy who will do nothing. The guy next door who will say nothing, do nothing, see nothing. Know nothing. I mean, after all, it's the football season. Right? That fixes everything. Well, anyway, verse 10 says, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, and give ear, he says, unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Who in the world is he talking to? Israel and again, I say, by extension, the United States. That in pride will lift up its voice and print on its money, in God we trust. I would like to know which God. Anyway, he calls the leaders of Sodom and people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? The religion. He said, what good is it, saith the Lord? Over there in the Episcopal Church, they are consecrating homosexual bishops. How do you consecrate a homosexual bishop? Did God consecrate Sodom and Gomorrah? He incinerated them, right? A woman from Texas sent me a picture of a big Presbyterian church in Galveston, and there's a big window in the front. It's a huge church, all white stone, and in one of these big, almost like a cathedral, huge thing. And in the front, there is a window with a five-pointed star with the two points up forming the window. Sign of the horned hunter of the night, Kronos. You see this everywhere if you know what to look for. And so God says, what good is this? Your sacrifice. What good are they, really? Saith the Lord. I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. God is saying, stop your sacrificing. I don't want any more of it. You go over into the book of Malachi, And the Lord said that he's going to take their solemn feasts. He said he looks at them as dung and he'll rub their noses in it. That's what God thinks of religious ceremony. Oh, it may be impressive, like the Kennedy funeral. Isn't that something that the lengths they go to take one of their dead and have this big, massive thing go on and all this pomp and circumstance and all the display of the things that they do with their rituals. Hey, it all means nothing. They might do all that stuff and the guy is still down where not even asbestos underwear is going to help him. And so it says in verse 12, when ye come to appear before me, this means they go to their church, they go to their cathedral. What does God say? Who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Tread there means to trample. To trample my courts. Remember in the book of Revelation chapter 11, it talks about the outer court. Those that get close enough to Christianity to use the terminology, but they never enter in, they never repent, they're never converted, they never become a Christian, they sing the songs, they come to the service or go to the mass or whatever they're going to, and it resembles some sort of Christianity. It's not, but they never really enter into Jesus Christ. They're in an outer court, and what did God say? The outer court leave out. He doesn't want them trampling his courts. And he told us in the book of Hebrews that these people are trampling, treading on the blood of Jesus Christ underfoot. That's why when God commanded Israel in Egypt at the Passover, he said, put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, but not on the threshold. You don't walk on the blood. You don't trample on it. He said, who are you that are trampling my courts? I think of all these religious things going on. Of course, holidays are coming up before too long. Halloween. What has that got to do with Christianity? Oh, but they'll have parties. These churches, the young people have to have this, see? Right? I know a guy that claims to be a great campus evangelist. And he was carving jack-o'-lanterns. And he was told that what they represent and what that means. He said, okay, then I won't carve a face in it, I'll carve a cross in it. You know, the guy's got the discernment of a lima bean. Really, where do you begin with somebody like that? And so the Lord says, bring no more vain oblations. Incense, hear this now, incense is an abomination unto me. Whoa. The new moons and Sabbaths. Sabbaths? Yep. The calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. The best you've got, God says, get it out of here, I don't want it. When they are going there, when they're sick in the head and everything's falling apart and they forget God, all they've got is their religion. A form of godliness that denies the power, the Holy Ghost not flowing through them. But they still got a religion. It is an admixture of everything satanic, and they don't see it and don't seem to know it, and if they do see it and know it, they don't care. They don't lay it to heart. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. See, God gets sick of things too, doesn't he? You ever wonder how long it's going to be before God gets sick of what's going on right now? And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. wash you. Now watch what he does here. He says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. In other words, cut it out. Stop it. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Do you ever hear people say, oh, you're judging. You're judging. You can't judge. You're judging. Hey, what does he say here? Seek judgment. You ought to be glad for it. Who wants to live void of judgment? Can you imagine that? No judgment at all. Never make a decision. Never call anything right. Never call anything wrong. You're okay. I'm okay. We're all okay. I got a letter from a woman. She's just devastated. She said her daughter told her that she likes women. And she's just devastated by this, you know? And I can understand that. And she said, my daughter said that I was born that way. Nobody's born that way. There's no such thing as a queer born that way. Something happened along the way. All these people in Sodom and Gomorrah, were they born that way? It's a choice, and a bad one. It's an evil lifestyle. Of course, if you want a job with the government and you let them know that you're one of those, you get 5 preference points on a state test. Did you know that? The federal government's the same way. I had a federal government supervisor for HUD that I happened to be talking to one time. And he said, we give preference points. He said, if you are homosexual, you get 5 points. So if you took a test and you got a 95, then you got 100. He said, if you are a transsexual, if you got an operation and changed over, you get another 5 points. For what? Why? How come? Well, the devil gives points to his own for a while. These things are unbelievable, but they're true. And so the Lord is saying, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Some people say, oh, well, it's a benevolent government. Look what they're doing for people. Maybe this is a good time to show you some of these little things here. I don't use notes, but sometimes I'll read a little something to you or hold something up. But this little thing here is rather interesting. The United States Postal Service was established in 1775. That gave them 234 years to figure out how to make it work and get it right. It's broke. All right? There's old FDR. Social Security was established in 1935. They had 74 years to make that work. It's broke. Fannie Mae was established in 1938. They had 71 years to get that right and make it work. It's broke. They had a war on poverty they started in 1964. They had 45 years to make that work. By the way, there's a big convention. War on poverty. All these politicians there. We're going to stamp out poverty. Right? They gave $1 trillion a year. They confiscated from everybody else in the middle class and so forth and gave it to the poor. And the country is broke. Medicare and Medicaid were established in 1965. They had 44 years to get that right and make it work. It's broke. They're both broke. Freddie Mac was established in 1970. They had 39 years to make that one work. Guess what? It's broke. They got quite a record, huh? Trillions of dollars were spent in massive political payoffs called TARP, the stimulus, the Omnibus Appropriations Bill. In 2009, none of it has worked. None of it shows a sign of working. But here's a new record, cash for clunkers, started in 2009 and went broke in 2009. And all they did was destroy a lot of perfectly good running cars. They gave the money basically to the Koreans and the Japanese, because they mostly were those kind of vehicles that were purchased. And dealers are right now facing bankruptcy because the government won't pay them, still hasn't paid them, and they can't pay their bills. So, with their 100% consistent failure record, now they're going to start health care reform. How long until they're broke? Interesting. What's happening here? You know, we read these things in the Bible, and when you start to apply them and it fits, it should tell us something. It should tell us, yes, all the rest is true also. The Lord is coming again. It's not always going to be this way. But for right now, we've got quite a battle to fight. Here's a picture of, quote, unquote, I have to always put the word president in quotation marks here, because he's not entitled. By the way, did you know Hillary Clinton is the Secretary of State illegally? She has no right to be Secretary of State. The United States Constitution clearly states that once you are a senator, you cannot run for a higher office, the cabinet of the in any of the cabinet positions of the presidency, until that term is expired that you had, which would be in the year 2013. She is illegal. But she doesn't care. And she's still got that chip on her shoulder ever since that house fell on her sister. But anyway, here is a picture of Barack Obama taken in Missoula, Montana. And the reason it's important is a squad car here he got off from his air vehicle there. I think it's probably a helicopter at that particular place. Anyway, he's carrying a book. And this is a blown-up inset view of the book. This is authenticated. Even Snopes says it's authentic. Although he says it doesn't mean anything. Got to watch out for that guy. But anyway, the photo is authentic. He's carrying a book. He's got his thumb marking where he left off reading in the book. Obviously, while he was flying, he couldn't put the book down. It was so interesting to him. He's about halfway through it. The title of the book is The Post-American World. Now, what is the president doing carrying a book like that, reading a book like The Post-American World, written by a fellow Muslim about the demise of the United States? Now, when the questions were asked, what's he doing here, when it talks about the fall of the United States, his answer was, it isn't talking about the fall of the United States, it's talking about the rise of everything else. Now, anybody with an intelligence quotient, even one point above plant life, would understand it's the same thing. The post-American world seems to interest him. A sitting president enthralled with a book called The Post-American World? Well, we see strange things, don't we? And then he's outraged all of Europe. The Poles and the Czechs particularly, because the United States missile defense system has been completely dismantled. And Poland said, you might as well hand us over to the Russians, because that's what's going to happen. It's all over. And here he is. This came out of the London Times. You got to go over there to get any news, really. Dismay in Europe as Obama ditches missile defense. There's no defense in Europe anymore against the Russians or the Chinese. That's all being done now on purpose because Israel is getting ready to attack Iran preemptively because Iran is now building missiles. They've already got nuclear weapons. It's going to give. There's going to be a war. It's pending. And you see, the whole thing, I've been watching this for a while. They're setting it all up. And the Bible does tell us there will be an Armageddon, doesn't it? Boy, I'm just full of good news today. The good news is the Lord is with us. What will be, will be. We don't get into fear. The Lord said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said in verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet. See, sins are red in the eyes of God. He sees red. They shall be white as snow, though they be red like crimson. They shall be as wool. How is this possible? Through the Savior. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. It doesn't have to be this way. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. By the way, what is the symbol of Islam? The sword, the scimitar, isn't it? How is the faithful city become an harlot? Faithful city became a whore? Now, I understand that Washington, D.C. always was Masonic. I understand that. It's built after the pattern of Masonry. The streets are laid out in the form of the compass, the square, the goat's head, the whole works. I'm aware of all of that. But there was a time when you had some character in it. Go back a number of years. There were some things that, there was some stability there. They always had the Masonic element and the Satanic element right from the start. But now, I think we can safely say there's nothing good left in it at all at this point in time. There might be a few people who will speak up. Thank God for that. And the American people, many of them are waking up and speaking up. But how has the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. He says, thy silver. Now here we get to the verses that are going to be identified with the title of the message, the refiner's fire. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. This is both literal and spiritual, you know. Silver become dross. Wine is watered down. Now we can take any phase of this. You can look at the economy for an example. Has that been watered down? You know, he's referring here back also when you had real, remember when they had hard money? I mean, real silver and gold coin. The real thing. And of course, people took advantage. They found ways to take advantage of that. They used to take the gold coins, silver coins, and shave the edges, and then spend them for face value, and they'd have a pile of shavings there. That was their shavings account. They'd spend it for face value, then they still have all that. That's why they started serrating the edges. You'd know in a minute if somebody was shaving it, right? It wouldn't be serrated anymore. You wouldn't accept the coin because you knew it wasn't full weight. Then they started making the impressions deeper, make the coin thinner. Find some old pennies and look at some new ones. The junk that they give you now, these copper slugs for quarters, and you don't see too many half dollars anymore. Everything has just gone down, 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 down in quality. You know, the Word of God predicts that. They make alloys, cheap alloys. That's an old trick, you know. In the days when they had silver coins, they used to be pure silver, then they started having coin melt. It was 85% silver, and then the rest they filled in with some cheap metal. Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. This is true of religions today. They're all admixtures of various things. Eastern religion, yoga classes, you name it. They'll mix it all up. God saw this happening. Thy princes are rebellious. Now let's look here. They don't like you talking about the government, but who are the princes? I think we could extend this out to say the senators, the House of Representatives, right? Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. God had it marked down. Everyone loveth gifts. Little bribe, huh? Little gift. Push this through, push that through. You know, going back, I have to go back 25 years on this quote because I don't know how it is today, percentage-wise. But 25 years ago, we had over 100 members of the House of Representatives that became millionaires after they took office, and they didn't have anywhere near that money when they took office. And they weren't paid enough to become millionaires. Where did it come from? Did they take back pop bottles? What happened? Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Oh, they may talk about health care for all, but now they're saying there's going to be some of Obama's, even his cronies are starting to say there will have to be a large tax on the middle class. I got a letter from the state because we have, in Last Trumpet Ministries, we have 8 employees. And 6 classified hourly paid and 2 salaried. And they want to know if we provide health insurance. I never got a form like this before. There's 4 pages long. They want to know if we provide health insurance. Of course, we don't. It's too expensive. And we just can't do that. Of course, with Obama's plan, they may force us to do it, which would cost us $50,000 a year. Which means we'd have to make some cuts somewhere. Because that much just doesn't show up in the basket. I mean, we do have a lot of people helping us. And we've got a budget that's nearing $500,000 a year, but when you've got postage bills of $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a month to pay, that's just postage. And materials and packaging materials and all these different things, and we charge nothing for anything that we do. So it gets a little bit scary sometimes, so you have to walk by faith. But that's okay. But now I got this form, and they said that I have to fill this out within 30 days. And it tells if you offer insurance, if not, just all about you and everything, and they want all the info. And if you don't send it in 30 days, there is a penalty of $300 per month per employee. $2,400 a month, as long as it's not sent in. So they're tightening the vise. I'd never seen anything quite like that before. I'm not worried about it. We just take it one day at a time and walk with the Lord and see what He does. But if this health care thing goes through, there's going to be a lot of businesses and a lot of people in a lot of trouble. And even with the raising of the minimum wage, a lot of businesses have had to cut jobs and they're running that tight. They had to cut back here and cut back there. It seems like everything the government touches turns to trash. Have you ever noticed that? They got the Midas touch in reverse. They'll take something perfectly good and destroy it. Well, that's because it's the devil's business. And we know that. And so in verse 24, it says, "Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies." God is saying, I will, when the time comes, I will say, I've had enough. We try, we pray, we resist through the Holy Ghost. We voice what God has put within us. We lift up the Word of God like I'm doing right now. See, a lot of people won't apply this to the United States. Say, oh, that was long ago. If the shoe fits, wear it. God does not change. The fact is, this fits like a hand in a glove. And I'm not going to omit anything because it's time to make a lot of noise. And let people know what God hath said. God said, I will avenge me of mine enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. Tin. That's interesting. Why does he say tin? What does that mean? What do we know about tin? Well, I don't want to get into a chemistry lesson, but I know that tin, see, the symbol is SN, which comes from the Latin stannium, which means hard. The word stan actually means hard. I know the atomic number is 50. I know it has 10 known isotopes, more than any other element. I know that it is, tin is an amazing substance because when you bend it, it cries. It's crystalline, and so the crystals rub over each other, millions of them, and it makes a crying sound. If you take pure tin and bend it, from which you get that word tinny. It seems tinny, you know. A lot of people have lost touch. They used to have this stuff called tin foil because it can be pounded into a thin layer called foil, but it's been replaced with aluminum foil. A lot of people, old-timers, still call aluminum foil tin foil. And the strange thing about tin is, when it gets down to 53 degrees Fahrenheit, if it's pure tin, it starts to crumble into powder, worthless powder. And that's why the army of Napoleon, when they went into Russia and they hit that cold weather, all the buttons on their uniforms were made of tin, and it got cold, and they all turned to powder, and they couldn't button their coats anymore, and many of them froze to death. Tin cans would do that too. You had to keep them warm, not cool. Nowadays, they're steel and they're coated, and it's all different. They still call them tin cans, but they're not tin anymore. But tin is kind of an amazing substance. But what it did do, the reason it's in the Bible is because tin was a material used to make alloys. If you took copper and added tin to it, you came up with bronze, which was harder and more stable, but it wasn't pure anymore. If you took tin and added it to several other metals, you came up with pewter, which is a cheapened form of silver. You all seen pewterware, I'm sure, or heard of it. And so it's tin was always used. The only way it was any good is to make it into an alloy, into a mixture. And this is why it's here. God said, I'll take away your tin. I will take away your admixture, your alloy, your impurity. I'll refine you. I'll burn it out of you. I will purify you. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. And Jesus did that. But we understand that now, in our present time, we're still in a predicament here. And this time when he comes, he's going to come with a refining fire as well. And I appreciate the refining fire of God. You know, God does refine all of us individually in measure as well. He straightens us out. He burns away the tin, the dross, the alloy, the mixture, what the world has tried to add into your life, into your thoughts, into your mind. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. And they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. It's coming. It is coming. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired. And ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen, including the rose garden. There's a reason why it's called the Rose Garden. It isn't just because it has roses in it. It's a place of secrecy. The word rose under the rose always meant secrecy. If I was going to go and tell you something under the rose, it meant you can't tell anybody. That's why in a Roman Catholic church above the confessional, which is usually an oak cabinet with a screen in it for the priest to sit on the other side, you go in and say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." Hey, what an audacious statement, right? You want to be blessed because you sinned? But there, carved in the oak wood, was a rose, because it was supposed to go no further between you and the priest. And once the priest got drunk and started playing cards, he'd tell anybody. I've seen it. Have you ever seen a drunken priest? There was one priest, I didn't even know he drank till I saw him one time when he was sober. They drink like a fish. Hey, I wonder if there's a connection there with the Friday thing. Anyway, the oak tree is sacred to witchcraft, to the occult. Original covens of druids met under oak trees. Wiccans as well. Always under the oaks. Go over to Salem, Massachusetts and follow the trail markers up a gallows hill like I did, and you'll see the place where the fires were under the oaks. Quite a sight. A lot of people have never been there, but it's pretty freaky. Witches everywhere. The oak is sacred in the occult. And God says they're going to be ashamed of the oaks that they desired. "For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water." In other words, you're going to dry up. And we read this chapter thus far, and we can see how well it applies. "And the strong shall be as tow," which is a flammable substance, "and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them." Do you realize what kind of a world we're living in right now? Where anything can happen anytime. Iran isn't fooling around. They said, "We're going to blow Israel off the map." The president took all the defenses out of Europe, shut down the whole missile system. Poland is scared the Russians are going to come in anytime, because there's no defense. There's no restraint anymore. We've already got Chinese infiltration into our country. Barack Obama is going to legalize all illegals under the health care plan. That's one of the reasons they want the health care plan, as an excuse to legalize all illegals in the country. It's all being set up and choreographed very carefully for absolute upheaval and chaos in the world. And the Bible says the day would come when there would be an Armageddon. Now, we as His people need to be refined by the Word of God, so we're ready for this. If we go over for a moment, I don't have a lot of time left, but let's turn to Malachi chapter 3 for a moment. "And God said, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple." What does that mean? Well, that did happen. It did. Remember? In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says the Lord would come suddenly to his temple, and they were all gathered there in that upper room in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as of fire sat upon them. This is the refiner's fire, the power of the Holy Ghost. God's Spirit will refine us. It'll burn away the tin, the dross, the alloy, and purify us, which is what we need. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Then it won't make any difference what their rules and restrictions say. You know, Congress just passed some new rules that there are certain things you cannot call the president. You cannot use the word hypocrite. Did anybody see that in the news? Oh, I got that printed out. That was in Politico in the news, which is a very good news source. You can't call him a hypocrite. You can't say he's cowardly. You can't call him a liar. You can't call him anything that he is. There's a whole list of things you can't call him. No senator, nobody in Congress is allowed to use certain words. They are forbidden. What happened to the Constitution? But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Did you ever see these women with the old scrub boards? And they get on there and push and push, you know, in the old days. They wash the clothes down by the stream. The old scrub board. My mother used to have one. Put the soap on there and scrub away. God knows how to do that for us. He can put us on the old scrub board. Fuller soap. What was Fuller soap? Actually, it was interesting stuff. It was made up out of potassium nitrate powder and horse urine. Made it into a paste, and that was soap. Boy, it got things clean. It didn't smell like Irish Spring, but it got things clean. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord. See, it takes the fire, doesn't it? As in the days of old and as in former days. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages. That's the whole Congress. Look at the list. Sorcerers, adulterers, false swearers, those that oppress the hireling. Do they take anything out of your checks? Anybody get a full check? Teeth marks all over it. A lot of bites come out of there. The widow and the fatherless and that turn aside the stranger. Why do they tax Social Security? Why do they tax unemployment? Why are they going to tax the cash for clunkers rebate that you got, if you got one? You're going to pay tax on that too, you know. A lot of people didn't realize that. And that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God doesn't change. If he felt that way back then, he feels that way today. And he's only going to let it go so far, and he's going to come and interrupt what they're doing. And I'll tell you, he's going to burst the skies open. And boy, are they in for a surprise. John the Baptist spoke of the baptism of fire. Remember? In the book of Matthew? Remember that in chapter 3? He said, now also in verse 10, the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's going to be a big fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's a refiner's fire. He'll make you a new person whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Amen. And finally, I'll only refer to this, but over in Revelation chapter 3, he told the church at Laodicea that they were to buy of him gold tried in the fire. We need to be refined in the Holy Ghost so we are ready for anything, because anything can happen. We don't know what's next, but it looks pretty ugly out there. Everything's still folding up. You know, Obama said, the economy's getting better, and he quoted some fraction of some number, of some indicator somewhere. Only he could possibly try and take credit for a catastrophe. It's ugly out there. We need God. We need to yield to him. Let him do a work in you. He will show you step by step everything to do. Let God make your decisions. Let him work in you. Quicken your mind. Show you what to do. Seek the Lord in all things. Cry out to him. Reach out to him. Let the refiner's fire come and burn away the dross. And burn away and purify. Get rid of the tin. Yes, amen. The cry of the tin. That'd be a message in itself, wouldn't it? Amen. And the Lord will purify you and make you a new creature. It can happen. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for the refiner's fire. And we ask, O Lord, that thou wouldst fill us all with the Holy Ghost. Refine us, Lord. Oh, Lord, take away all the things that should not be. Close the doors that should not be open. And open those doors, O Lord, that we might walk in thy ways. Help us, O God. Lead us in the way of all righteousness. Help us to cry out unto thee. For we live in a world that is so hostile toward us. Oh, God, keep us in the way that we should go and show us what to do. We yield ourselves to thee now, and we pray that thou wouldst rebuke the oppressors and all the wickedness and that abomination in Washington, D.C. of that horrible flag that was raised, that communist flag in the presence of the White House. Lord, let that be rebuked and all those who did it in Jesus' name. Let thy power come down, O God. Show people the errors of their ways. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.